Welcome to Straight from the Muzzle, folks, where we are anything but straight. My name is Space.
And I'm Bean.
And we welcome you to our show, which is about what today?
Today's going to be different than our usual episode. We are doing a review on a furry magazine today. And this is going to be an 18 plus episode. So we'll have that warning put up. But just so you youngsters and parents with kids know, this is not the episode to listen to out loud.
Definitely not. You're definitely going to want to put your headphones in, and you definitely do not want to have your parents walk in when you're listening to this.
Definitely not.
Definitely not. That's just not something you want. Why don't you kind of explain what we're going to be going over here?
Sure. So there is a new, it's new. It came out in, let's see, summer of 2020. The first issue of a magazine called Omurr. So that's O-H-M-U-R-R in all caps. And this this magazine, the editor for them is Thurston Howell. And they approached me, and that's how I discovered this magazine. They approached me on my fursuit making Twitter asking for an interview since I am a mursuit friendly fursuit maker. And Omurr, if you didn't know, Murr is a common furry vernacular word that is like kind of like, ooh, sexy. Like that's the vibe it gives off. So Murr is kind of like another word for sexy or sexual connotations, things like that. So they approached me for an interview. And because I was curious, I bought the first issue of Omurr that came out in summer of 2020. And I read it before agreeing to the interview so I could see what this was about. And I really enjoyed it. And I thought it would be a good idea to do a review for the first issue of this magazine on our podcast. So this is essentially going to be a review on this furry, not safe for work mag. So it's essentially like, I don't want to say like yiffy art mags, but that's what kind of what they were back in the day.
Now I'm curious. I guess it probably wouldn't. I'm gonna ask the question, but then I realize that the answer is gonna be pretty obvious. Are we going to link what we've seen already to our viewers, or are we going to just link what they can go and buy from the website?
Yes, that's actually a great question, Space. So, you know, copyright reasons, we can't share with you the contents of the magazine because you're going to have to pay for it to support, you know, the artists and the models and everybody who is involved in this project. But in the description of this episode, we are going to have a link to the Weasel Press website, which is the publisher for Omurr. And we will link you to where you can buy the first edition of this magazine. You could buy a physical copy, so they will email you an actual magazine for $16. Or you can get a digital version for only $5. So, you know, both are a really great deal considering you're supporting your fandom directly. And this is a great way to, you know, get some, you know, just some art in for yourself and some photos of models of just supporting your fandom directly.
Plus, if you've never bought a porn magazine, what a great time to do so.
I know, right? You're in quarantine, right? You're lonely. Like...
It's perfect. You can put this underneath your mattress. Your parents come over. They don't even know, you know? Just this is like the new thing.
I've never been a consumer of like...
Neither have I.
Of not necessarily furry porn, because that's just straight up lie. But like magazine kind of stuff. You know what I mean? I feel like that's more... that's something that was way more common with like, you know, Yif zines and things like that back in the early stages of the furry fandom. And I don't see them as commonly now. And it's a really interesting experience. And honestly, I liked it. I thought it was really neat.
I've come across just in general a couple of like, I honestly think Barnes & Noble actually did carry at one point some pretty edgy content of magazines, but they were always covered up. Like you had to view them in a weird way. And I've been to some places where you could. And I don't know. There was something about it that I just never thought was very appealing. Plus, I mean, for me, every time I go into an area where it's all about the magazines, first thing I'm looking for is Martha Stewart magazine or Home Cooking, something of that matter.
Oh, I love that.
Always where I go. And then that's how you know I'm gay, right? I either go there, I go towards like the gaming area where there's games, not like gaming or
board
whatever.
Games.
Yeah, or I go into like the little like journal section. I'm like, oh, look how cute that journal is. Ooh, it's got one of those fancy pencils. And then, of course, I open up one of those like car magazines and I'm like, what's this?
Mystery.
How does this engine work?
No, cargo vroom vroom.
Yeah. It's so stupid.
Oh, I love it. We have a statement from the editor, yes. Which his name is Thurston Howell. And this is what they typed for us. So I'm just going to read it word for word. Omer magazine is Weasel Press's hustler / playboy magazine for furries and pet players. We are super eager to get to share this with you folks, and we love getting to celebrate so much sex positivity and diversity in the fandom. Please give us a follow on Twitter at omermag. Check out our Indiegogo through there, and consider purchasing our newest issue. And if you're a creator or a model, hit us up. We love working with people. So the fact that they explained it in a way where it's a hustler playboy magazine, not only for furries, but also pet players. There are both of those types of content in this magazine. And the first issue does have a model who is a female pet player, which one, I love that that's being represented right on the front of the cover, because everybody knows that the furry fandom is kind of known for being centered around the gay male population. So not only is the model a female, but the model is a pet player. So it shows that it's not just about the fursuits and it's not just about like the gay porn. There's going to be some variety in here, which we'll explore later. But just as a first impression, that cover, ooh, I love it. As a wonderful lesbian woman, I love it.
You know, so because I didn't realize the first cover, until you pointed it out just a little bit ago, but I was telling Bean, I'm like, I didn't think she was a furry. I'm like, I'm pretty sure they just hired her, like a hired the model and just told her to put this on and then take a pose. Cause that's how damn hot the woman is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gay, but I may go straight for just a minute for her. Just a minute.
Just
and then I'll go
minute.
Back to being gay again.
And the model's name is credited in the glossary, which, and her name is Maybe, M-A-E-B-Y, just so y'all know, because you can see the cover and the link we'll provide in the description. That's the only part of the magazine that you can see is the cover and then the information on the side of the description for where you can order it. Well, I wanted to talk about the glossary for a second, because this is a part of the first impression for me that I really enjoyed. I feel like when you just pick up any old magazine, it never includes a glossary. Like when you open it up, I feel like the, you know, the credit isn't given to any of the like photographers directly or anything like that, and you have to flip through so many freaking advertisements to find anything. It's like, what? I don't know where anything is. So like the fact that there is a glossary and it's so straightforward, I really enjoyed that. It really, you know, made it helpful to me as a consumer.
I have to interject here because I feel so stupid for assuming this. So initially, I'm looking over the notes when I first got your notes, and I saw a glossary, and I'm thinking gloss, like a shiny. And I'm looking over the magazine, the one that was sent to us, and I'm like, I'm not sure where she's getting gloss. All I see is the PDF, and I'm not really sure how she's seeing a shiny cover. There's nothing shiny about it.
Face.
Yeah, no, funny. For real. I'm not kidding. That's why I'm just like, oh my god, it just put two and two together.
Oh my god, you're ridiculous.
You know, it's funny because I spaced out there, but there's actually a model in there who also has my name.
Yeah, that's under Spacey.
Yeah, Spacey.
So the glossary, it has different sections. They have and this will just give you an idea of what you're going to get if you do purchase this magazine. The glossary has features, fiction, which is like stories, interviews, models, nonfiction, and reviews. So that's the content that you'll be seeing in this magazine. And again, just the addition of a glossary, really great touch. It also gives everybody the credit, you know, if you want to know who somebody is, not only do they have the credit in the glossary, but they also have the credit for the folks on the page. So that's something the furry fandom really cherishes, I would say, is crediting artists and crediting models and things like that, because we're so, you know, the fandom is built on, you know, the people in it. It's not built on any pre-made entity by Hollywood. So I think that's also the reason why glossary was included, when that's not typically something that's done in a magazine. So I applaud y'all for that.
Yes. Sorry, guys.
Did you zone out, bud?
I did. I was just looking down the looking through the thing.
The magazine? Are you getting distracted by all the bulgy wolgies? That was cringy. Oh, I need to go brush my teeth.
Yes. Yes, I was getting distracted by all of it. I guess like my first impression. So first off, I knew it was like a pup play magazine, but I hadn't really like downloaded it. Bean had sent me like a PDF package, but I hadn't actually opened it up. And so I had like 30 minutes. Here's my keyword, at work.
Uh-oh.
And I always have Telegram up. So I'm like, okay, well, there's no one ever in my office anyway. So I'm at my office and I download this file because I can't open it. It won't open up in Telegram. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'll have to download it. So I download it into my folder and it takes a minute. And then I open it up and I kind of just let it like do its thing. So I have it open and I'm kind of working on something. And then I look over and I'm like, okay, so this thing is huge. And I messaged it being, I'm like, this thing is huge. It's like 72 pages long. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, so I'm just like, this took me forever. And I haven't even really like scrolled through it at this point. So I start scrolling through and the first thing I actually start seeing is a pair of boobs and silver shiny butt plugs. And I just sit there and I'm like, oh shit.
What did you expect, bud?
Oh my god. So I'm like, oh shit. So like I'm like, I close it, like I deleted it, threw it in the recycling bin, deleted that, and I'm like, oh my god. I'm like, I'm just like praying to Jesus. I'm like, oh my god, Jesus, please, like, make this, no one sees this at work.
You couldn't have waited until you got home.
Well, I just said, like, okay, I mean, it, obviously, if I thought glossary, thinking was glossy cover, I should be thinking here that it just didn't dawn on me to think that a puppy play magazine was going to be a porno magazine. Sometimes just things don't really click for me like that very often. So I just... Yeah, oh, that was my first impression. As soon as I realized what it was, I'm like, what? So that was different for sure.
And just a heads up for those who are listening, we did directly support this magazine by buying our own copies.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
your first impression was, oh shit, I'm at work.
Yeah. So do not. Pull this up at work.
Oh my god, of course.
Please do not.
You're ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay, so something that really popped out at me, besides the boobs, as Space said, Jesus.
And silver shiny butt plugs.
Look, man, I thought it was a good picture. Okay.
It is a good picture.
The diversity. I discussed the diversity a little bit with the cover and with the glossary. So the first thing you see is a glossary and just how many different types of media is in there. So there's diversity in many different forms here. The first thing I want to mention is that there is not just one type of content in this magazine. You have stories, you have reviews on furry media, you have models of many different types, and you have interviews. There's a lot to consume in this magazine, all centering around the kink side of the furry fandom and of pet play. And it adds a great layer to another form of diversity, which is the sexuality, the forms of sexuality that are represented, and gender. So you'll be scrolling through or flipping through, depending on what copy you buy, and you'll see something that will appeal to you. There are men, there are women, there are trans people, there are non-binary people, there are fursuits, there are pup masks, there's just standard kink gear, there are just hot people.
There's ghosts.
Wearing nothing but just them being hot, you know? And there's a lot of different body types. There are muscular people, there are plus size people, there are standard sizes, there are thinner people. Like, it's not just one type of person. It's not just the fit white gay man that you see in every other furry mag or in any other magazine in general.
Although there are some fit gay men in there.
Yeah, so. There are some fit gay men in there too, if that's your thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie, they are kind of nice.
Yes.
Nice.
It makes it accessible to all types of furries. And something else I wanted to mention was that all the models, like, it wasn't just fursuits. Because I feel like in the kink community and in the furry community outside of kink, fursuits are always what's romanticized the most. But it seems that in this magazine, it focuses on the people and the person under the mask. And when there are fursuits involved, whether they're full suits or the partials or they're poodling, it still is very centric on the person, which I really enjoy.
I'm looking at one picture here and I can't tell if he's chloroforming her or if he's blinding her.
What?
Or he's covering up her face from like sun shining in.
I am so confused as to what you are referencing right now. Is it an artwork or is it a picture?
It's a picture. It's on page 27. so just looking at it, I'm like, what is he doing?
Oh, that's art. That's underwear space.
Oh!
He's sniffing his underwear space.
Well, it looks like he was chloroforming.
No, it's underwear, bro.
Well, okay then.
I really like the different art styles that are in here too. It's a lot of digital art, because you know traditional art is kind of hard to scan in, but there's a lot. No, there is some traditional art in here. There's some watercolor. There's a lot going on. I love it. And okay, so all of the things we've been saying so far have been positive all around. I did want to mention one thing, though. The only thing that I think is a constructive criticism aspect Reddit for this butts. First edition of the magazine is I think having some more representation in people of color as your models would be a great addition. I do know that the woman on the cover is a person of color. But as I'm flipping through here, everybody else seems to be either white or white passing. And this, you know, it's just nice to have some diversity because I feel like people of color in the fandom can be underrepresented kind of all around, just in general, especially like at conventions and in art and things like that. So having some more people of color as models would also be great. I know this is also a... I think a volunteer basis. So it could have also been that they just so happen to not have any volunteers to model for this first edition. And I'm sure that in the second edition, that could very well be different.
I do want to point out that on their website, if you go to weaselpress.com and you go to the submission guidelines, it does say that in bold that Weasel Press is only seeking work as of May 2020. Authors of color, authors who identify as LGBTQ+, authors with disabilities, and current or former sex workers. So
oh,
it could
shit.
Be, like you said, it could be that not very many people knew about it, and so the submissions were very low, and that could be the issue right there. It's just there was maybe just not enough word of mouth, and hopefully as their volumes come out, more and more people will gain interest and actually start writing in.
Oh, right. That's amazing. Shit, scrap that criticism then, because that's a really great addition to that website. Because this is, again, the very first addition to this magazine. So if I was to have any constructive criticism, it would have been to have more people of color as models specifically, because you can't tell what race somebody is with the stories or with the interviews per se, because there's no photos. But, you know, seeing that on the website, I just now saw that too. I just scrolled upon it. That's a great addition, knowing that they are looking for that diversity and they're only accepting submissions under those guides. That's really great. I didn't know that. I'm so glad you pointed that out.
So I'm thinking with podcasts, like with reviews like this and with word of mouth and with people buying the magazine or with people doing, you know, reviews in like other ways or other forms, more people will be notified and they'll be prompted to come and submit.
Yeah.
And these are very easy guidelines to read. There's other information that you can submit as well. It doesn't have to be like a story. Looks like you can do pictures. There's poetry. There's a lot of things you can do. And then they kind of go over like what's accepted. Looks like they go over contracts as well. So a lot of good things, a lot of good information on this website that you can go over. So
yeah,
very interested to see what they come out with this year. Are they doing a month to month as far as like volumes go, or are they doing it like every couple of months?
It's probably seasons, considering the first one is summer of 2020.
Cool.
And because there's so much packed into this this magazine, like how Space said, it seems really long when you're scrolling through a PDF, but when you buy a magazines, when you buy them, they're going to be 70 to 100 pages. So it's not overbearingly long, and every page of it is packed with great content. When you buy a magazine at the store, half of that shit is going to be advertisements for fucking Kroger and CVS Pharmacy. Yeah. So you're not getting that garbage.
And
you're
those
getting
like
pure
those
furry
like
content.
Cologne advertisements that you like open up and you smell and you rub on your neck and then you put it back so that no one notices. I do that. Pre-pandemic. And you also I also kind of realized too that the 72 pages doesn't seem, I mean, it seems really big, but then if you imagine them going back to back, they're not that big, because then it's like a regular magazine.
Yeah. And if you can support this magazine by buying a physical copy, I think that would be really cool. I know we're living in a digital world, but having a physical copy of something like that, and I don't know the logistics behind how much money they would get from one or the other. That's something I would have to ask Hal. But the physical copy is a little more expensive, but it's just the idea of having it in your hands and having such a cool physical item like that. And again, it's not, you know, it's not like your standard porn mag that you just pick up from a gas station. It's full of art and literature. And while it all is all kink based, it's still art and literature and photography and performance and just things like that. And it's really, really cool to see.
Well, we're going to be in the next issue, which will be what, the fall?
I guess so. Yeah. So I believe in the next issue, I'll have an interview in there as a fursuit maker, and we'll have an advertisement placed in for Straight From the Muzzle, and that will be really fun and interesting. We're gonna get some fun art of blue drawn for it.
You know what would be fun, and I'd be willing to do this too. Just in general, I plan on buying a couple of actual hard copies. One I want to get so that I can open up the spread of the advertisement, and then I want to frame it and put it on the wall, because I think that'd be really cool.
That's cool.
Because we've actually never done an advertisement, like an official advertisement outside of like Facebook or Twitter. So that'd be really cool. And then maybe we can do like a raffle.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That'd be kind of
fun. We can raffle off the other mag. We just have to make sure that those who are entering the raffle, whoever wins, they have to show their ID to show that they're 18 or older.
And we have plenty of time to do so.
Oh, yeah.
Programs out there that would allow us to do that. So that'd be fun.
Yeah, definitely. And then that, again, gives more support to the magazine themselves because we'd be purchasing more copies.
Absolutely.
So fun. All right, there's one more point I wanted to make about this magazine. It's another positive, is that it gives a voice to underdogs. And I don't mean underdogs as in, like, you know, losers climbing their way to the top. I mean, it's a great way to give a platform to furries who might have a harder time reaching out to an audience. So there was an interview in here I wanted to mention of a new sex toy company in the furry fandom called Wandering Bard. So it's a sex toy company that makes exotic dildos. And y'all know that Bad Dragon is the primary, you know, name that people think of when you bring up something like that. But there are plenty of other companies out there, ones that are more ethical, ones that are smaller businesses, perhaps they ship faster or anything like that. And I'm not necessarily bashing on BD, but you know, there's some research out there that, you know, says that maybe supporting some other companies would be good too. And Wandering Bard is an up and coming sex toy company, and they have an interview with one of the people in charge of that business. So that's just a good example. It's a new business. It's furry based. It's a smaller company, and perhaps getting interviewed gives them some more reach to get some more business, or perhaps some of the stories that are placed into this magazine. So there is some fiction. So there are furry kink stories, and you can read some of them. And then there are some reviews on some as well. And I'm personally somebody who has never read a lot of furry literature. I just never have. But when I bought this magazine, I read a couple of them and I enjoyed them. And now it's something that I'm interested in reading more of. And I have a few authors under my belt that I can look up in the future if I wanted to find more because of this magazine.
I've read a couple of, like, I mean, I guess comics, furry comics would fall under literature. So I've read a couple of those. If you guys are familiar with Red Rusker, wink. Come on, no?
I don't think so.
Dude, Red Rusker is a famous man. That's probably like the most famous furry porno comic.
Really? Let me just Google Red Rusko.
Red Rusker.
Hmm. Oh my.
For affinity.
Oh, I see it.
I wanted to add one additional thing to the Wandering Bard. I kind of want to make like just a kind of like
bring a PSA? Something to it.
Yeah, like a PSA. So you see this in like your local communities. Everyone always says support your local community because it boosts the economy. That is a fact because it actually does boost the economy. Do the same for furry artists. If you go to a convention and you see newer like fursuit makers and newer artists, buy something from them. Because that gives them a chance to get more art out. The more people see more people buying, the better the chance that artist has a chance to thrive. And with newer companies, there's always a risk that they won't survive. They might actually tank. So it's just good to go out there and support as much as you can. Just try it. That's all we ask is try it, check them out, do what you can. What's the worst that could happen?
Mm-hmm. And it benefits you as a consumer as well in this kingdom. Because if you only support artists who are already well-known or already thriving, they'll raise their prices for supply and demand like they should. But then you're going to have less artists available to you with higher pricing. And it'll be much harder for you to get a variety of types of art or of artists in the price range that you're looking for. So by supporting a variety of artists, whether they're new or they've been around for a while or they're just not as well known, then you're making you're helping support a market that is consistent with variety. So you can go on one end of the artist alley and get a badge for $30 and support a smaller maker or a smaller artist, and then go again to the other side of the artist alley and then drop $100 on an art piece, and you'll have both of those options available to you. Yeah. By creating a wider market, by giving your support, you know, in a variety of places, it could be very beneficial to you as a consumer and to the producers of the fandom, like people who make your plushies and your art and your fursuits and things like that. And your dildos.
And your dildos. The bigger guy will always be there because they're successful. They've made it as far as they can go pretty much. But these newer guys, they need some help. They need some, you know, recognition. And that's where you guys come in.
And it'll help challenge those who have been around for a while already, so they don't get lazy and sell you the same thing and just benefit off of that. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. So go out there and support your local dildo maker, but specifically Wandering Bard.
Yes.
isn't that a ship? Isn't a bard a ship?
A bard is a D&D type where they are usually musicians, and they're very flirtatious, and they get away with a lot of things by fucking and flirting.
Okay, so I don't play D&D, so I thought...
It's a D&D reference.
You know what? I was thinking of barge.
I mean, it's not just a D&D reference. A bard in general is somebody who plays instruments for, like, kings and things like that in general.
Oh, my God. So if you're ever just out and about walking on the street and you see a musician with like one of those like musical cases open up and dollar bills in there, he probably has a dildo in there, too.
Oh, my God. Space.
Right? Just ask him.
Space.
What?
That is harassment.
Whatever. It's it's not. He could be a bard, like you said. Anyways. I like this magazine. It's going to be good.
Definitely. I'm really excited for future issues, and we'll continue to support them. And if we get our hands on a physical copy, we'll do a raffle on Twitter.
Yes. What do you call it? An appropriate one.
Yes.
Yep. But hey, thanks for listening in. And remember to do something, because I'm going completely blank.
Remember to go support the Omer Mag and follow the link in the description and get yourself a copy.
Other than that, we will see you guys next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye.